This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
This is important to us, really. What can we do together to make this a thing? And I would include your vicar or your staff team at church in that journey and bring them into the conversation really early on and say, you know, this has been laid on your heart. You feel really passionate about it and you want to be able to gather more people and gather a community around it. I think that's always the first thing, is just find other people that get it.
Hello and welcome to this Tread Lightly podcast from us at the Raynham Eco Hub. My name is Kaylee.
And I'm Liz.
And this podcast is where we delve a little bit deeper into those conversations with local everyday heroes that are doing small and impactful changes. We hope that you get as much out of this as me and Liz do and that you also laugh just as much too.
Hello and welcome to this episode where I, Kaylee and Liz are going to be chatting about all things Eco Church. Yep, you heard it right. Eco Church is an actual thing. We're going to be looking at specifically St Margaret's Church in Raynham and all of the things that they're doing to become carbon neutral by 2030. Hello and welcome to this very exciting episode where we are talking about all things Eco Church, which is a little bit of a niche subject, but one that I think is really important when we're looking at churches being the centre of most communities. Hello, Liz.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right, thanks. I'm good.
I'm excited to talk about this. I think you say it's niche, but what's important is with the church's side of things is it's just a community group, essentially, isn't it? It's a community. So I think it's going to be really interesting to talk about churches because I think it's going to kind of focus us for this chat, but I think it will be relevant to whatever your community looks like.
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think it's quite nice. So for those of you that don't know, I am part of our local church, which is St Margaret's in Raynham in Kent. And one of the things that we've been doing is over the last probably 4 years is been exploring what does it look like for us as a Christian organisation, as a Christian community coming together to look at our responsibility to care for the earth, essentially. And we wanted to just talk about it today and kind of unpack it a little bit. Liz's got some questions.
Yeah, I want you to help me kind of understand that journey because I think it's amazing what you're doing. The church is, what, is it 800 years old?
Yeah,
old. Years old, really old, isn't it? And I think there's so much crossover. You have people who've got schools that were built a long time ago and you've got people who've got houses that have been built a long time ago. And sometimes some of these things might look like they're barriers, but you've done amazing things at St Margaret. So I guess I just want to understand, you were part of the journey of helping St Margaret's become an eco church, similar time that you've been running with the Hub. What inspired you to start to tackle the church in terms of their commitments and St Margaret's Church, but the church more generally, and their commitments to being more sustainable?
If I was to be really honest, I think if I look at why I think it's so important to care about the environment and our planet in general, is because I feel like it's been a massive gift by God and we are entrusted to look after it and do the best that we can. And it still surprises me that there are some people who have a faith that still question that and still struggle to understand that that is such an important responsibility that we've been given and struggle to get their head around how their faith and being environmentally aware is like so linked.
Interconnected.
It's so interconnected, yeah. So for me, they go hand in hand in the same way that my faith tells me to love you as my neighbour. Well, I think that the same about the planet and the earth and the environment, because
just we through your faith, do you feel?
Yeah, because I am part of that. I am part of creation. So whatever your belief system is, we are part of that same being. Do you know what I mean? We're not disconnected. And I think part of that is we are actually so disconnected as a society, I would say, that we like to separate ourselves from things. We're like, oh no, I'm not like this. Oh no, I'm not like this. Yeah. But actually, we are interwoven. I think you can't really get away with that.
And do you feel comfortable talking about how does the Christian church talk? Where are they at with the sustainability journey? Do they have kind of a standpoint on it? Is there something that comes out across the country, or is this kind of church by church basis to make that decision, or as an individual?
So I guess the Church of England as an institution has put a line in the sand. So we've got a general synod, which is made up of lay people and people that serve in our churches, vicars, bishops. It's made up of a whole demographic of people that represent the church locally, and they get to vote on issues that are important to them at the general synod, essentially, which is a bit like our democratic system that we've got here in our government. And they have set out a target for all of the church buildings to be carbon neutral by 2030. Okay. We are now in 2024. So that's only 6 years away. And some will argue, and I think I feel strongly about this, that there isn't enough support being offered to local churches to work out what that looks like. It does kind of feel like you're on your own with that. You need to kind of work that out. There are certain things that are set out that you can start looking at your building's energy and looking at solar panels. There's some really, really great examples. I'm trying to think of what the church's name is in London. I think it's in Hackney. And they have completely become carbon neutral. They've got heat source pumps, they've got solar panels, they've got compost toilets, you know, they've gone whole hog. And they are a similar age church to us.
Wow, okay,
and
that's interesting.
That's really inspiring, because when you start looking at the ages of buildings, people see that as a barrier, don't they? They kind of see that as like, oh, that's too big of a task to kind of tackle. So they have set targets, but I feel like there needs to be such a lot of joint up thinking to be able to support local churches to be able to do that. And I think that's why having conversations like this, to be able to share with local churches, to say, let's get creative, let's start thinking about why we're actually doing it, and then work out realistically what that can look like.
Yeah, because I figure you're going to have similarities in terms of the building with other really old churches, but at the same time, the demographic of the congregation is going to then probably mirror a completely different church who might have a different style of building. So you're going to have crossovers and differences in all different churches, aren't you? If someone was listening to this and they are either a member of the congregation or a member of the team at the church, do you have any thoughts around what you would do as your first step to saying, right, we want to look at becoming an eco church and being more sustainable within our community? Where do you even start?
The first thing that I always start with absolutely anything is go and connect with other people. So go and find people that are already in your congregation that are having the same sort of thoughts as you and same conversations as you. You'll know who they are, and kind of connect with them and kind of say, look, this is important to us, really. Kind of what can we do together to kind of make this a thing? And I would include your vicar or your staff team at church in that journey and bring them into the conversation really early on and say, you know, this has been laid on your heart. You feel really passionate about it and you want to be able to gather more people and gather a community around it. I think that's always the first thing, is just find other people that get it. Because even if you, as with all, you know, when you start a new idea, I don't know if you do this, but like I get so excited and I can just see the vision. I'm like, yeah, this is where I want to be. And realistically, you know that that's going to take you like probably 10,000 steps to get there. But it's always good to have that vision. And so then that's what gathers other people, because they can see your passion, your excitement, can't they?
Can you remember the first either event or the first meeting that you had, and who was around the table and what kind of ideas you first came up with?
I mean, we're really lucky that our church is made up of like such a diverse, we're such a diverse group, which is probably why I love it so much. I don't know who was like sat around there, because I don't want to like say names and then actually miss loads of people out. We had probably about eight people sat around the table that was all like, yeah, this is really important. I think, as you'll find with like anything, we found this doing environmental work, you will always find people that have got a particular interest in a certain area. Mm-hmm. And so I really remember my brain goes straight to like community kind of like events and being able to like bring people together, because that's where my passion is, that's where I get really excited. So I was very much more like, let's gather people, let's start doing events, let's start doing that sort of stuff to kind of build momentum, and then kind of let it grow from there in terms of like what people feel is important. Other people were very much like around energy and kind of energy usage and where we get our energy from, and started having conversations around that. And I think really, really early on, we were having conversations around who we bank with and who we have our pensions with. Nice. And who we have our investments with. And I think that was the beauty of having such a wide group, is that everybody came with their own bits of like, yeah, but what about this and what about this?
And did people tend to lead in that area? So if they were interested in energy, were they allowed to just go off and just explore what that looks like? Or if they're interested in the graveyard, could go off and do that? Is there the freedom to do that, or is that church by church?
So I think, well, I mean, every church is going to be able to lead in a completely different way. For us, it's been really difficult because ideally, yes, that is the absolute model that we would want to roll with, she says. Like, speaking of, there's a whole group of people, I don't lead that group, but there's a whole group of people that are doing that work. And I think we started in 2020, so that was like during COVID. And obviously we're a really small team, and we've had loads of challenges locally in our church to contend with. And so sometimes it's really, really difficult to keep that right at the top of our focus because, you know, you're kind of like going here, there and everywhere. So ideally, I think this year our focus is to be able to come back together and kind of have a bit more of a structured set out plan so that people can start taking ownership of certain areas, because I think that is exactly the model and the way that we would love to go.
Do you want to live more sustainably, but you just don't know where to start?
Did you, like me, sign up for Veganuary and accidentally buy chicken sausages on day two?
Does the whole eco thing leave you feeling confused and sometimes overwhelmed? If so, this is the podcast for you.
Remember to check us out on our socials on Facebook and Instagram, the Rainham Eco Hub.
Or what would you say is kind of the next thing that you need to do? So you've gathered your team, you're coming up with some really good ideas. How do you know what to prioritise? What would you do? What's your next step?
I'm going to do it a bit back to back. So I naturally would say your engagement pieces. So getting your comms sorted and being able to like share this journey and not even worrying about whether you are perfect, whether you've got your bank sorted, whether you've got your investment sorted. Don't worry about if you've got your energy sorted. Do not worry about that stuff because it can just feel too overwhelming.
So do you mean, when you say that, do you mean start talking about where you're at?
Yeah, like openly with your congregation and with your community and be like, we're on this journey. We're not perfect, but this is where we kind of want to be, and just be open with that. Because I think that kind of helps other people then feel motivated and encouraged, that if you come out and be like, yeah, we're just amazing, we're doing this, this, this and this, that's really, really great that you want to shout about it. But then you want to encourage people and bring them along with you, don't you? So kind of be open about the challenges that you're facing around the decisions that you've got to make, and knowing that in an organisation, they're going to be a little bit different than what you are going to do in your home. I can change my energy provider tomorrow if I wanted in my home. You know, that's not going to be the case when you've got several buildings and several, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So just be open and transparent with that. And I think that will kind of lead you. So I would naturally go for engagement because selfishly, that's what I love most.
Yeah.
But I think this kind of comes up into engagement. But the next bit I would say is kind of connect with other organisations or other churches that you know are supporting eco churches or are already on the journey, or, you know, kind
of. Have you got any good examples?
So I don't know if you've heard of AROSHA, but AROSHA is a Christian charity, and they have a website that is full of amazing resources that you can use in your Sunday services, that you can use to do events, to kind of. They've even got things like your hymns, your prayers, your kinds
what?
Of readings. Yeah, like
that's awesome.
Yeah, they're really, really good. But they've also got an accredited scheme. So a little bit like Eco Schools, you can sign up. There is a fee, but you sign up to essentially get an accreditation. So you can go through, and it's almost like a tick list that you can go through, and you can kind of use that as a bit of a baseline to kind of work out, okay, what's the stuff that I'm doing really, really, really well? And where are the areas that we could maybe put our focus on? And we did that really, really early on, simply because, one, to do the actual questionnaire itself is free. That's online. That's an online resource that's free. So we just use that as a baseline to kind of go, right, this is where we're good at. And at the time, like low level building stuff, we was actually quite good, and our engagement pieces were actually quite good. But there were other things like, at, you know, even like general recycling and rubbish and all that sort of stuff, composting, you know, water and all that sort of things, where we needed some work. So it kind of gave us an idea, and a conversation started to be like, okay, where we're gonna start.
What's
from
your easy wins? What's gonna take some work? What's just probably not possible?
Yeah,
I remember you talking to me about the fact that it would be great to have water butts because the church roof is so massive, but you just can't get water butts installed because. Tell me, what word do you need?
Is it a faculty?
Faculty, that was it. So you need a faculty to even
and
put water butts in.
That's not impossible, I don't think. But it's all of those things that require planning. And so it's not a case of like, if I was at home and I just wanted to put a water butt in, well, I've got massive butts in my garden. But do you know what I mean? Like those sort of things, you just kind of need to be able to have a bit of a plan and a bit of a workout. But I think all of those things, like they're so doable, isn't it? And that's where it's about having the right people around the table that's able to. We've got an amazing church warden at the moment called Davina, who we always say is our yes person, because there is nothing that you can say to that woman that she'll say no to.
She's amazing, Davina.
You will literally, somebody said once, they were like, oh, can we do this off of the tower? And I went, oh no, I think that's going to be, and she went, no, yes.
Oh my God.
Yes, we can. And I was like, what? How are you going to do that? She went, I always say yes until I can work out a reason no.
Oh, I love her.
And I'm like, oh, see, I would just so worry that I would say yes and then I've like, people would get their hopes up and then you'll end up having to say no. But she's really open. She'll go, I always say yes until there's a reason.
Presume best intentions.
Yeah, until no. Good. And I'm like, we need more people like that. We need more people to just be a little bit risky and a little bit more sort of like happy to just go, yep, this is what we're going to do. This is what's important. And
let's give it a shot. I love Davina. That is awesome. And so, not to steal the punchline, but you are now Bronze Arusha accredited at St Margaret's, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we are, actually.
Could you share for people that are perhaps starting on their journey, what practically, on a practical level, you did to get that accreditation? And the second part to my question is what do you need to get silver?
Oh my gosh. But there's a big jump.
Oh, is there a big jump?
Okay. Yeah. So I will probably be frowned upon by many people for saying this. However, bronze is not necessarily impossible to get.
Okay.
The first time we submitted it, we didn't have enough points to be able to get bronze. So we had to go away, and it was more around our basic stuff, because they realised that the first basic level, you're not going to have already got solar panels on your roof. They're not necessarily like aiming you to go straight there. They're not already wanting you to have, you know, compost toilets and all those sorts of things. But I think it was basic things like our rubbish. So like our being able to like recycle, being able to use recyclable items when we're doing like crafts and stuff instead of like buying new all the time. You know, it was kind of like more of our basic things. So we started to put in some simple things like that, and then we managed to get it. When we've then gone back and looked at doing silver, there is a massive jump. So we do really, really need to have a bit more of a strategic plan to be able to get to that. But our team really, really well have basically said, you know, it's not about the accreditation. Actually, we want to be able to do it for the right reasons, yeah, and to do it properly. So even if it means that we get silver in 5 years' time, actually, if we have got a plan and we are working towards that plan and kind of not putting barriers in our way, then we're really happy with that. So
yeah,
so we're
really
kind
nice.
Of towards this year, we're going to be actively working towards that. And one of the things that we've started is a project called Putting Rainham First. And a big part of that is our sustainability goals, where we want to be carbon net zero by 2030, which...
So good to be so aspirational.
Well, to me, I feel like 2030 is 6 years away and it feels like it's too long. But the rest of the country is still at 2050. So I feel like, you know, we're 20 years ahead in that sense. So it feels a bit better. And it feels like doing it that way, we'll have the right people around the table to be able to have the right conversations. Because Putting Rainham First essentially is looking at our buildings that we obviously own and use. So the church and we've got like a Millennium Centre, like community hall.
Yeah.
And so it's looking at, you know, big buildings. It's essentially a heritage site, isn't it? We've got a big graveyard. So they're not kind of like easy things that we can just do overnight. Yeah. But having that plan, I feel...
Just that
really
belief
hopeful.
That you can do it.
And just, I think like with that, something I've learned is like when we're dealing with like architects and we're trying to sort of say, this is our aim, this is what we want to do. We, not even just with this project, with the other projects that I've worked on, architects are still like trying to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're still sort of like, oh, you know, you mentioned a heat pump. Oh, we don't know if you can be able to do that. It's like, catch up. Because this, you know, this is where this is where we're going. It's no point spending millions, you know, applying for funding for millions of pounds to be able to do this stuff if we've not got this at the core, because it just doesn't make sense,
does it?
So catch up.
Catch up big time. But that's the big stuff as well. There's still, you know, the amazing bits like Twiddle Church is doing loads of litter picks. Like you guys.
It's amazing.
You offer alternative milk, don't use glitter. Those kind of things that are just absolute, like, can-dos just to get you started, just to get people on the journey.
I mean, you mentioned Twiddle Church. They are doing such amazing things. They're going to be hosting in April the first climate cafe in Medway. Yeah, and it's really exciting because essentially they have paired up with Mutual Aid Road Reps, Medway, who are another organisation that have sustainability at their core, as well as connecting people. And so instead of them going, oh, you know, we have to do this, you know, they're partnering with other people. And I think it's about looking around at what other people are doing that's really, really well, that can support you and you can support them. One of the other things really quickly is Climate Christian Action, who I am a massive, massive supporter and follower of. And if you don't know who they are yet, go and check out their website. Again, they have many resources, books, talks. You can book them for, you know, speaking events. But more importantly, they're starting a revolution around change, around how as Christians we actually need to put our prayer into action and kind of pray with our feet, really. And so they do vigils every week, every Wednesday, in outside Houses of Parliament, and they just sit there peacefully just praying. And it just, that sort of stuff is just amazing. I mean, they're also very noisy and they do some remarkable action.
Yes.
That we've been a part of, actually. We went to London for the big one in April and stood outside Shell, which will be forever etched on my heart, of standing
insane
outside Shell headquarters with over 1,000, no, how many people there? 400 Christians that day. And they sang Amazing Grace outside Shell headquarters with, you know, a couple of bishops, a couple of people from different organisations like Tear
young
Fund.
People,
yeah,
as well.
Loads of young people, loads of families, actually. That will be forever etched in my memory. And that was so amazing, because, and that's the connecting piece, right? You know, being able to stand there with 400 other Christians that think the same as you and are praying and working towards the same things, but on a you know, bigger, different scale, is just,
you met some really mind cool people that day, didn't
blowing
we?
Yeah,
but
really.
Then those people then walked across the square and then bumped into Extinction Rebellion, bumped into Friends of the Earth, bumped into Greenpeace, bumped into local schools. So,
and they're all working together, you know, they're not in
the
silo
stuff,
yeah,
but they gathered their group together, yeah, to bring them together. Yeah. It's really cool.
Love it.
Amazing. Thank you. I've really, really enjoyed doing this.
Oh, I think thanks. It's my life. That's quite a big bit. And I feel really glad that we've been able to speak about it. So thanks.
Yeah, I am as well. Thank you for sharing.
Thanks.
See you later, guys. Thank you for listening to the Raynham Eco Hub's Tread Lightly podcast. If, like us, you're trying to be more sustainable, then like and subscribe to get notified when we release new episodes, or even better, share with your friends and family. Hope you enjoyed today's episode, and thank you for joining us. Stay safe, keep going, and find us on socials. Cheers, guys.